good day. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is His Voice Today, and this is Pastor Amani. So our message today is entitled The Dominion of Spirits. Now, this message is connected to other messages that have been heard on this platform, like the spiritual world, the spirit man, the Numa verse, you know, born of the word. So if you can actually look to those messages, it can just add on to your understanding of whatever shall be shared even today. Now we're going to take our reading from the book of Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to read from verse 22 all the way until verse 24. So it reads, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable angels in festival gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood sprinkled that speaks better word than the blood of Abel." So here the Bible is telling us about a place, and this place is called Mount Zion. This place is called the heavenly Jerusalem. Now, if you look physically or geographically, there is a place called Jerusalem. It is actually a physical city found in the nation of Israel. But we understand that here there is a spiritual Jerusalem, and actually there is a spiritual Israel. If you read the book of Romans chapter 1 and verse 2, it actually talks about the true Israelite, which actually is one who is circumcised in the heart and not one who is circumcised outwardly. So that means that you find that actually the spiritual is actually giving birth to the physical, or rather there is a spiritual representative of what is there in the physical. So when I talk about the dominion of spirits, when you talk about dominion, we talk about a domain, and we see that spirits are able to dominate, spirits are able to exercise authority. Now we want to begin to see in this teaching, how far can this authority go? What is the spiritual dominion, or what is the dominion that spirits have in this world? Now, when we look at the book of Colossians, if you read the book of Colossians from chapter 1, it talks about how people can be delivered from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of His Son, or as some versions will say, the kingdom of light, which means that there are two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of darkness and there's a kingdom of light. And we understand here that if you are born again, from the book of John chapter 3, it talks about if you are born again, then you enter the kingdom of God. So it means if you are not born again, then you find yourself in another kingdom. And these are things which actually I've shared. You can look at the different other messages that are found on this channel just to get a better picture. So we see that in the world of the spirit, there are two places where one can be: kingdom of darkness and kingdom of light. So we understand that if there's a heavenly Jerusalem, we understand that there is a physical Jerusalem. Now, when you read the scriptures, you actually see that there are a lot of spiritual locations that actually have a physical destination. So I want us to go to the book of Daniel. We're going to start from maybe what we will call the kingdom of darkness, or the negative, and just begin to see what is the dominion of spirits. Now, when we go to the book of Daniel chapter 10, we're gonna read from verse 12. Now it says, "Then said he to me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia." So we understand here that this is an angel speaking to Daniel, saying that when he desired to pray and to seek God, he was released from the heavens so that he can actually give this guy Daniel the message. But he says the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood him for those 21 days. Now, he's not referring to the physical prince of Persia, because Persia was also a physical place. But in the spirit, there was actually a prince of Persia. There was a kingdom of Persia, meaning that whatever was ruling there at that time, it wasn't just physical men in a physical place, but there was a spiritual authority. There was a spirit that had dominion, and it was known as the prince of the kingdom of Persia. So now this is what was fighting with this angel to bring the message, and he was stuck there for 21 days until he called Michael. Michael being one of the angels known in the book of Revelation chapter 12 who defeated Satan. So we see here that there's a kingdom of Persia just like there is a physical one, and just like there is a heavenly Jerusalem and a physical one, which means that the spirits that are the prince of the kingdom of Persia are the ones who actually were affecting Daniel's prayer on earth, because they were the spirits that were dominating there, though there was a physical man that was there. Now, when you go to the book of Exodus chapter 7, you're reading from verse 1, God is sending Moses to Egypt. Now, Moses was actually living in Egypt until he killed an Egyptian and he had to flee. Now, there are words that God speaks to Moses, and he says to him, "See, I have made you a God to Pharaoh." Now, he's sending Moses to liberate the Israelites from the slavery that they're having in Egypt, because he actually says to him from chapter 3 and chapter 4 that I've heard the cries of the children of Israel, and now I am sending you, you know, to actually be an answer to the prayer. That is obviously me paraphrasing that. So then when Moses is going there, he's not just going there as a political leader to say, you know what, these people are being oppressed, so I want to bring a political situation, I want to bring liberation, I want to bring independence. But he says, I've made you a God to Pharaoh, which means I believe that it was a situation like what we find in Daniel, where there's a prince of Persia who is a physical man, who is holding a physical rulership office. But then there's also the prince of the kingdom of Persia. So when Moses goes there, he says, I want you to make you a God to Pharaoh, because Pharaoh is not just the physical man that you knew as you were growing up. Because if we follow the story, Moses, when he was young, he was left in a river, and then Pharaoh's daughter took him and raised him. So he says, it's not just a physical man, but you have to go there as a God or as a spirit, because actually there is a prince of the kingdom of Egypt, which is more than just the Pharaoh that you know in the physical realm. Now, if you read the book of Exodus, you actually find that when God was bringing the plagues, you know, he wasn't just bringing the plagues just to trouble the physical Egyptians, you know, as you know it. Exodus chapter 12 verse 12 says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night. I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord." No. So we see here that we understand that actually God was judging the gods of Egypt. So when he sent him there to say, I'm making you a God to Pharaoh, he understands that you are going to encounter gods. You are going to encounter spirits. These are spirits that are actually ruling over the physical Egypt. And actually you discover that because, you know, if somebody comes and says, let my people go, you understand these are people who are being oppressed. It is more like a political statement. But Pharaoh doesn't start by calling the armies to release, to fight back or to come against Moses. But he calls magicians. These are spiritual people. And when Moses throws down his rod and it turns into a snake, the magicians also do likewise. So it's only later when we find that now they are exiting Egypt and it is the last plague that now Pharaoh begins to send his armies, which means that Pharaoh was a man who kind of did like what we find in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12, where it says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. He did not fight against Moses with flesh and blood. He started by calling spiritual authorities to say, this man is coming with a spiritual authority, and I'm going to bring other people who operate in the spirit to begin to challenge him. And then only in the end is when he then began to say, okay, let me call my armies to address this man and the Israelites who are about to leave. So we see here that we learn that there is a dominion of spirits even in the land of the living. Let us go to the book of Revelations chapter 17. And what is worth noting is that these spirits obviously are actually having to be embodied by the physical. That's why you find there's heavenly Jerusalem, physical Jerusalem. There's the prince of Persia, there's a physical prince of Persia. There's Moses, who is a god being sent, but he had to be first, let me use the word, convinced by God to actually allow God to work through him as he's going to Egypt. Now, when we also read the book of Revelation chapter 17, it says, "Then one of the seven angels who had seven bowls came and said to me, 'Come, I will show you the judgment of the great prostitute who is seated on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed sexual immorality, with the wine of whose sexual immorality the dwellers of the earth have become drunk.' And he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was full of blasphemous names, and it had seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with goods, gold and jewels and pearls, holding in her hand and a golden cup full of abominations and the impurities of her sexual immorality. And on her forehead was written a name of mystery, Babylon the Great, mother of prostitutes and of earth's abominations." So we see here that this woman was called Babylon. Babylon was the name of a physical place, but we understand that this was a spirit as well. So there was a physical Babylon, but there was the Babylon who was this lady, who was this spirit. And it says that the problem with her was that she was the mother of prostitutes and all earth's abominations, which means that any abomination that was found in the earth wasn't originated from the earth, but it originated from this spirit that we see here. This connects with Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12, which I've mentioned earlier, that the Bible talks about we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. So here we get a picture that there is a lady called Babylon, and the earth's abominations are actually coming from her. You know, the Bible says, when you read actually all the way through there, how the kings of the earth have committed sexual immorality with her. So it obviously is not a physical person to say that, oh, the kings or the rulers of this earth have met this woman and, you know, have had sexual intercourse with her. But it's talking about the spirit that has influenced the kings of this earth, the spirit that is controlling the kings or the rulers of the earth. And it says they have now drank of the wine, and the earth also itself has been drunk with this. So it means that this is a person who is releasing evil and influence. When you talk about being drunk, normally people talk about under the influence. So this is an influence that is affecting people in the earth, but the influence is coming originally from a spirit. And I like what we see here, because it gives us a great picture, because it says this person is arrayed in purple, scarlet, gold, jewels, which means that the person is looking attractive. You know, whenever the enemy wants to do something in the earth, he always coats it with something attractive. It has to be seductive, it has to convince you, but behind it is actually a whole lot of evil that is accompanying that. And that is why actually later we'll begin to understand when we talk about seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So we see here that this person, this spirit, is actually what is causing a lot of the abominations that are there. So when you read the whole chapter, it begins to, you know, break down bit by bit what is there. But we can jump to chapter 18. And it says from verse 1, "And after this I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was made bright with his glory. And he called out with a mighty voice, 'Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place for demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable beast.'" So we see here that this Babylon, which is not necessarily the physical Babylon, but this spiritual Babylon, is a dwelling place for demons and everything that is not of God, everything that is evil. And verse 3 says, "For all the nations have drunk the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality," which means that the nations have been influenced, they are under the influence. They have that passion of her sexual immorality, that perversion. When we talk about sexual intercourse here, it's talking about, you know, when there's sexual intercourse, that is like an intimacy. That is like when there's sexual intercourse, there is a possibility of one being impregnated, and then after being impregnated, you give birth, which means that a lot of the things that we see manifesting in the earth is because there is a sexual intercourse with this spirit that is bringing all these abominations, unclean spirits and all of that, and they find expression in the earth, or they are given birth into the earth. That is where we see all the evil and the darkness and the wickedness that is there. So that's what it means. And it says, and the kings of the earth have committed immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have grown rich from the power of her luxurious living. So we see here that it is something that influences rulers, people in authority, people in high positions, people who actually, it talks about merchants. So it goes into every sphere, empowering people, but at the same time, the people are being empowered. In this case, let's put it like this, they are being empowered so that by their empowerment, they're able to influence with the wrong culture, with the wrong message, with the wrong kingdom. You know, it's if we take it back to when Jesus died and he rose again, and when they looked at the tomb, they found the tomb empty. And then this guy said, you know what, if this story goes out that this man actually rose from the dead, the situation is going to be even worse. It was worse for them because they were opposed to Jesus, but obviously for better for the kingdom of God. But then they said that the guards who were guarding the tomb were then given money to spread the lie. So here are people who are merchants, people who have got money, who are able to begin to pay off or begin to pump in money or begin to finance a lie. And that is what we see. That is how the kingdom of darkness also works. Thank you so much for tuning in to Dominion of Spirits. This is part one. You can tune in to part two as it is going to just come up. So you can just like, subscribe to the channel so you can be notified when Dominion of Spirits part two is coming through. Thank you so much, and God bless you.